Well, it's a joy to be back with you, Breed and I being with you tonight, and the service is here, and pray that the Lord will help us tonight and teach us something to strengthen the family along the way. Sister Maynard and I have been married 39 years, and we still examine our marriage from time to time, and we see areas that we need to try to improve on likewise. So there's no holier than thou person that's standing before you tonight. Some time ago, I was with a family just sitting there observing, and it was something that really bothered me, and it desired, when I seen what was going on, it put a desire in my heart to be more careful. And I am going to talk about communication tonight as a family, being able to talk to each other. But I was sitting in a room, and everybody in that room was playing on their phone. Well, look up here now, it ain't time to pray. I leave mine in the car. And every last one of them, I'm talking about the kids, I'm talking about the parents, I'm talking about the others. Everybody was sitting there playing games on the phone. Now don't throw one at me now. I'm not saying that it's wrong to play a game on your phone. But when you get consumed to the point where it takes away family time, I really wonder if we ought to kind of take some inventory about that. Because tonight we are going to be talking about communication. I've said this here to you before. Breed and I riding down the road one day, and she's just trying to tell me everything that's going on that day, and boy, and all of that. And I got my mind in another world, and I said, "Oh, are you talking to me?" And there's nobody else in the car. So, you know, God help us tonight. Proverbs chapter 15, if you'll turn there, and we'll just get right with it tonight. And I pray that the Lord will help us. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord in our family. God has certainly been good to us. And we see our weaknesses along the way and get before God in devotion time and ask the Lord to help us. I do appreciate you praying. We just come out of Florida. We were in Tampa, Florida with Brother Larry Key with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. And praise God, in that juvenile prison, we saw 12 people saved. Amen. 11 inmates and a prison guard. Amen. Even had the opportunity of leading a prison guard to Christ. Amen. And that was a great blessing. And then as we were coming back, we stopped in Bon Air, Georgia, to be with Brother Jim Lane in the Calvary Baptist Church. His son, Michael, is the youth pastor at our home church, Calvary Baptist Church, in King, North Carolina. Communication in marriage. Let's consider some things tonight before we look into this great chapter. We communicate when we talk, and we communicate when we don't talk. It's called the silent treatment. We communicate when we smile, and we communicate when we frown. We communicate when we laugh, and a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And we also communicate when we cry. We're communicating when we listen, and we're communicating also of unconcern when we don't listen. So, gentlemen, tonight, if women talk more than we do, then we've got to learn to listen more than they do. We've got to learn to listen. Got to be good talkers, and we've got to be good listeners. Now, I'm not going to turn to it tonight, but if you'll go home tonight and read Ephesians 4, verses 15, verses 25 and 26, we learn from the book of Ephesians chapter 4 how to speak truthfully and tenderly, speaking the truth in love. Yeah, speaking thronefully. Speaking in a fashion that's triumphantly. In other words, we desire for there to become victory as we communicate and we talk things through. We need to learn to do that. When we communicate, we don't need to have a belittling tongue. One fellow said one time, I wish you made biscuits like my mama. She responded by saying, I wish you brought home the dough like my daddy. We need to learn to communicate. We need to talk about the family. We need to talk about our fears. We need to talk about our future. We need to discuss and talk about our faults. We need to discuss and talk about the failures the fulfillments, the fun and the folly, having a good time. And yes, we need to talk about the finances. I guess I got this from Mom. I probably mentioned this before. Many of you know that my dad died when I was a teenager, 17 years old, and left my mom in a lot of debt. So a few years after that, when I met Brita, she wasn't Sister Maynard then, but I had proposed to her, and she said yes, and I went, yes. Sometime after that, Mom sat down with me, and she talked to me about two issues. One issue is private. You already got that and figured out. And the second one was how to manage money. And here's what Mama said. Your daddy left me in a mess. I am not going to let you do that to Brita, because my mother loves you. So she taught me how to make a budget. Taught me how to spend wisely, how to be very frugal in your spending. And ladies and gentlemen, that's very important. Financial dilemmas can put a marriage in a lot of stress. Yes, it can. So it not only has to do with our talking, though, with our family and our fears and our finances, our fun and our folly, and all those things I've talked about, but we've also got to learn to listen. We got to listen with concentration. We got to get interested in what the others have got to say. Now listen, Grandma and Grandpa. It's not hard for your little grandson, little granddaughter to run up to you, want you to play with something, and all of a sudden want you to listen to their jibber-jabber and all this, that, and other. It's not too hard when they run up to you and you take a smell and you know that everything's gone south. But we need to listen to everyone in the family. I mean, when my cell phone goes off, and if it's one of the boys and it's where I can't, we stop what we're doing to give all of our attention to our sons or daughter-in-laws that are on the other side of the phone. We've got to listen with concentration, affirmation, observation, and we've got to do so with determination. That's the reason it's so important that we do try to have our family devotion time. Shut everything off to the side and just listen to each other. I know, Sister Maynard, we travel a lot of miles. It's a lot of miles. But one thing about all the traveling we do, most of the time we can't get anything on the radio. So we just talk. Because we need to talk. We need to make sure that we're on the same channel about ministry issues and family issues and what's coming up. And, of course, many of you have been helping us pray for our mother-in-law with the breast cancer she mentioned tonight. And we need to communicate those things so we'll know how to pray. And we need to communicate those things because of those times that Brita's gone to spend the day with her mom. All these things just are a part of communication. I think we need to learn to communicate when we're around the table. Right. Number two, we need to learn to communicate by cutting the TV, radio, and cell phones off. Right. We need to communicate about every decision. And as we do communicate about these things and have issues that need to be solved, then we need to communicate these things to God. Well, let's just pray about it. Like one couple said, we just talk to the Lord about it. And that is so important. So important. I learned a great truth being in the Florida prison. And it was a juvenile prison. I'm telling you, that one night, sitting there, and they're all sitting around the table, And there was a guy that had been put in a lockdown cell. And that whole time we were in there, he was bam, 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 just trying to disrupt everything that's going on. Trying to hinder the communication of God's Word. We were blessed to have a guard that was a Christian. Now, you know, the other guard in the other unit got saved. But the one that was in there, if the boys got to talking a little bit, he'd go tap them on the shoulder and say, you need to listen to the man of God. So tonight, may God help us. May God help us. Let's do things in a positive fashion. Let's do it in a positive fashion, ladies and gentlemen. There are wrong ways to solve. There are right ways to solve problems in communication. There are also wrong ways. And let me give you these. I just saw these in my notes. Number one, deny that there's a problem. Number two, the silent treatment. Look up here, it ain't time to pray. Number three, emotional outburst, adult temper tantrums. Number four, walking away and refusing to work it out. Number five, verbal sparring with hurtful words. Trying to win an argument instead of resolving a problem. Bringing up past failures. Shifting the blame to the other. Ignoring the problem and thinking it'll just go away on its own. Failure to seek the Holy Spirit's guidance through prayer. And here's a biggie. Refusing to say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, would you please forgive me? Now, after all of that, let's listen to five things here in Proverbs chapter 15, and we'll go our way tonight. Number one, there's the temperature and the tone of our words. Look what Solomon says here in chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous, that word grievous, the word grieve comes from that. And you know how it is when we grieve? Hurtful words. Words that destroy. But grievous words stir up anger. I mean the pot being stirred up. The fire beginning to flame because of the rising and the effect of the air. The temperature of our words. Look at verse number 18 in the same chapter. A wrathful man stirreth up strife. But he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. I might have told this here before. I was raised in a family situation with a dad that was violent. That's just the best way to put it. Short-tempered. Very short-tempered. I'm not going to stand before you and lie tonight that I've not been that way myself. You want me to be honest with you? Because I want to help you. When I worked a job very early in our marriage at Bonson Company, right outside of Winston-Salem, I worked in a department with guys that would cuss and just, they knew I was trying to be a Christian, and they would purposely do things to try to upset me. And then I would leave work and I'd go home and I'd take out my frustrations on my family. And that's not right. So I talked to a friend one day and he said, well, what you've got to do, Brother Maynard, he said, I've gone through these issues too. He said, you've got to get rid of that anger and everything before you get home. So, I took up bowling. I'd go by Northside Lanes on the way home and I'd bowl about three games and every one of them pins had a name of those guys I worked with. Now come on now, look up here, it ain't time to pray yet. But let's all be honest tonight. I've been honest with you. Amen. What about the temperature of our words? Good. The tone of our words. May God help us tonight. May God help us to understand that these things that I'm dealing with tonight, you know, it's not like something happening and you bury it in the ground and you cover it up because it's over. There is a devil tonight that loves just to mess up marriage. He loves to mess up our time together. He loves to do things that brings a memory that sometimes is never forgotten. So the temperature and the tone of our words. Did I read verse number 18? A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger A peace is strife. That word of peace, it just simply means, it just means to put the water on. It means to bury. It means to quench. In other words, when the wrathful spirit does come, and the wrathful man that stirs up strife between any individuals, but if we just back off and walk away, you know, it takes two people to fight. It takes two people to get in an argument. It takes two people to go at it. It takes grace to walk away. It takes grace to go to the prayer closet. It takes grace to say, I'm wrong. I shouldn't have said that. Would you please forgive me? We should have prayed about it. Number two tonight, not only the temperature and the tone of our words, but number two in this chapter tonight, there is the truthfulness of our words. Notice in chapter 15 and verse number 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. The perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. The wholesome tongue, the truthful tongue, the beneficial tongue, the tongue that causes something to grow. It's like a tree of life, but the perverseness, the other tongue, a breach. The word breach means to divide. It's a breach in the spirit. That's the temperature of our words. I was raised in a home that my dad again was raised in the home of a drunkard. And sadly so, what he lived in rubbed off on him when it came to his demeanor. And I went through those periods myself. And I tell you, if you don't walk in the Spirit, you'll fulfill the lust of the flesh. So number one tonight, the temperature and tone of our words. Number two tonight, the truthfulness of our words. Look at verse 26, if you will, please. He says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. But watch this. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. Pleasant words. Something that calms the spirit. Something that gives comfort. Something that gives a solace. Something that causes one's demeanor to become at ease. That is the words that we need to convey, not only between husbands and wives, not only between parents and children, grandparents, grandchildren, but actually this is being taught tonight. It can go a whole lot further than just the home. One of the things that I've learned with volunteering with Rock of Ages in the prisons is some of the inmates, they are just going through such bitterness because they either got caught, got arrested, or got convicted. There's only been a few times, Pastor, without asking any questions, that an inmate has come to me and said, I deserve to be here. I was guilty. So no matter what we're facing, there's the temperature of our words, the truthfulness of our words. Number three tonight, as I move on tonight, there's the teaching of our words. Look at chapter 15 and verse number 5. Solomon says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Now, a fool is someone without understanding. A person that despises, has a hatred, and walks away from his father's instruction. Now, Dad, that tells me something, too. Dads, we need to take time and not be so busy that we don't take time to spend times with our young'uns. Our sons, the daughters, the grandsons, the granddaughters. It's, wow. The truthfulness of our words. Look at verse 26. I feel like my time's getting away tonight. Notice here what he says in verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Well, I looked at that word pleasant. It's like the cool breeze upon your face. It's like the temperature being exactly right. It's like being in an atmosphere where you can just relax. And I tell you, if we can't relax at home, tell me, pray tell, where can we? I mean, you go out and you fight the world all day long, and then you come home, you want to come home to a place where everybody is full of the Spirit of God and just desires for it to be a place that you can just get eased at. You can take a deep breath and say, oh boy, I'm glad this day's over. And I'm not ready to face the next day yet. Just having fun. The temperature, the truthfulness, the teaching. We've looked at verse number 5. We've looked at verse number 7 in the chapter tonight. Yeah, let's look at it again. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Verse number 22. Watch this now. And I want to say this to the young'uns that are here tonight and all of us. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. What does that mean? It means, in application of the message, daddies, take time for your boys. Mamas, take time for your daughters. Papaws, take time for your grandsons. And I got one of them that's a pistol. We got one of them that's a pistol. And 6 granddaughters. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing any more precious to my heart when the granddaughters come over and I'm watching them in the kitchen with Grandma. Just having a blast. That's the teaching. That's the teaching. Chapter 15, if you will, please, verse number 31. Watch this now. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. So don't be like that we know it all. Don't be young'uns like you know everything. Young people, take time to listen to your parents. And parents, please do not get so busy that you don't take time to teach the children. Well, I've got a few more things here. Notice also the treasure of our words. Chapter 15, verse 6. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. I like that word treasure. When you look at it, it means to have an abundance of wealth. So I ask myself the question tonight, or I think I'll just make the statement. I know that I'm not very wealthy financially, and I'm not pouting either. God's been good to the Mainers. But a wealth and a treasure of wisdom is much more desired than what you got in your back pocket.
Right.
Amen. It was my papa. I probably told this here before. It was my papa that taught me how to play the trumpet. Amen. And after every lesson. And if you ever come to our house and you go through the living room and go through the kitchen, go down the hallway where our bedrooms are, there is a picture. Oh, my, I'm about to lose it. There's a picture on the wall of my papa giving me a trumpet lesson. And there's a poem that was written about my grandfather when he retired from teaching music. And every time I look at it, Brita, I stop and say, Lord, I want to thank you for papa. Because one day, we had a lesson, we put our instruments away, and he said, David, I want to tell you a story. And if I've told it here before, I'm going on 60-some things are worth repeating. Papa looked at me and he said, one day you'll be misunderstood. Don't rebel. Let God bring out the truth. And did we not go through that same thing in 2002? And instead of rebelling and splitting a church, we walked away quietly. All because of what Papa taught me when I was about 14, 15 years old. One thing I love about spending time with the grandkids, especially the older ones, is just to sit down and just answer their questions. And just have time with them. And Papa this and Papa that and May this and May that. And then get in the kitchen with May and wash dishes when she's finished cooking. Those are times that's like a treasure. The timing, the treasure of our words. And then last of all tonight, the timing. Boy, this is probably the one we need to pray about the most. Verse number 28 of the chapter. The heart of the righteous, watch this next word, studieth to answer. Studieth to answer. But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The word studieth just means to think through before you answer. You know, if you have to say, well, let me pray about this. Let me think about this. Let's discuss it a little bit later, but we're going to talk about this. Boy, how important that our communication and our phone, that come back again. I just got to thinking about that crowd the other day, just sitting there, every last one of them on the phone. No communication, just everybody playing games. Well, I play games on mine too, but I want there to be those more important times that me and Sister Maynard are talking. Grandkids coming through. You know my wife is a shoeaholic. It's amazing. They all go to the closet and get her shoes out and they're clomping through the house. Beep, clop, beep, clop, 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 clop. But they're having fun. Right. They're communicating. They're communicating. They don't want to be like May. So tonight the question is this. In our homes, how is our communication? Let's bow for prayer tonight.